Glory be to Jesus. Thank God for the word. Thank God for another great time in the word of God this morning. Glory be to Jesus. Okay, so we've been studying salvation, remission of sins, forgiveness. Hallelujah. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, Hebrews 2, 1, Bible refers to salvation. Bible describes it as so great a salvation. Hebrews 2, chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receives the just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So salvation is referred to as something so great, so vast. Hallelujah. So there's so much to be studied in salvation, because salvation is all-encompassing. Glory be to God. Salvation is all-encompassing. And then we've been studying in the past few days what salvation is not. And I said there's a need to always revisit this reality. There's a need to always revisit this truth about salvation, this truth concerning salvation. There's a need to always make a distinction between what salvation is and what salvation is not. Hallelujah. Because failure to not discern the truth from the word of God has very grave consequences. Very grave consequences. What salvation is not. Hallelujah. And if you're a passionate preacher of the word of God, a passionate preacher or an evangelist, you go everywhere preaching in buses, on the road, and you're preaching so passionately and you don't know what the gospel is, then you must pay good attention at this point. Even if you think you know what the gospel is, you still have to pay good attention now to find out if what you're preaching is the truth of God's word. Because if you are preaching something that is not the truth of the word of God, you know what will happen? All the effort in going around, which is commendable, all your zeal, your effort, your commitment, your diligence, would amount to nothing. It will be in vain. Hallelujah. You get to heaven and discover that you never saved the soul. Many years back, there was this message that was popular in the body of Christ. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. I bought the small book. I read it. After I was done reading, I was like, wow. If this is the message they heard, I'm not sure they were saved. Because what you hear in that sermon, what I saw in that book was more of judgment, condemnation, scaring people, you know. And if that is the message they claim to have heard, then I'm not sure about their salvation. It will be a miracle if people are saved listening to that kind of message. A very rare miracle at that. Hallelujah. So what salvation is not? Salvation is not refraining from sin. It is receiving forgiveness of sins. Salvation is not try hard to not sin. No. There's no place in the Bible that teaches that for men to be saved, they must strive hard to make sure they resist sin, or they stop sinning, or they refrain from sinning. That is not salvation. And the reason why this kind of teaching appeals to people is because it appeals to human morality. It appeals to human morality. If I walk up to a person and I say, for you to be saved, you should start stealing and killing. I mean, even the worst of the guys around, even the worst, the most deadly sinner, the most hardened criminal would know that what I'm saying is a lie, would easily spot it, because that in itself does not in any way appeal to any form of morality. And then people associate morality with God. So it is easy to spot a message that encourages sin. It's easy to spot it and say, this is wrong, this is antichrist, this cannot be the gospel, even if you don't know the gospel. But it is very, very, very hard to spot a message that appeals to human morality. Human morality, human kindness, good conduct. It is very hard to spot it. Amen. You just assume that God is in it. When a man says, for you to be saved, you have to stop committing sin, committing adultery, committing fornication, you must stop stealing for you to be saved. I mean, it appeals to your moral background. Or your moral conscience. So it is difficult to turn away from such a message and say this is false, unless you look into the pages of the scriptures. It is by the word of God we are able to discern the gospel of works, the gospel of human morals, the gospel of human religiosity, the gospel of human conduct. Hallelujah. Human goodness, the gospel of human conduct, good behavior, good conduct for salvation. It is by the word of God we are able to judge those things and discern them as false. Glory to Jesus. And if you look through every religion in the world, every religion has a common appeal. Morality. Morality. A common appeal. Human morals. If you study Islam, you discover that the what Islam preaches and stands for is moral conduct. If you study Buddhism, all religions of the world have a common appeal. Glory to Jesus. That is, religions that claim to be from God, they have a moral appeal. And that exactly is the deception. And that has crawled into the Christian faith. That has crawled into the body of Christ. There are preachers who know jack, who know nothing about the work of Jesus. They are just out there busy preaching morality. Busy preaching how men ought to behave themselves. Busy acting like moral teachers in the name of preaching the gospel. Unknown to them, the gospel is not an appeal to human morals at all. The gospel is a revelation of God's goodness in Christ Jesus. So the gospel is not refraining from sin. It is receiving the forgiveness of sins. The next time you preach the gospel to any man and you tell them to be saved, what you must be announcing to them is that which God did in Christ, in the which he is reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Hallelujah. God is not counting sins against men. God is not asking them to stop sinning. He's reconciling them to himself by not counting their sins against them. Glory to Jesus. Forgiveness. Look at Luke's account. Luke's Gospel chapter 1, verse 68 to 79. Luke 1, 68 to 79. Bible says, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our lives. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins." Have you seen? By the remission of their sins. So the knowledge of salvation is given to men by the remission of their sins. Verse 78 says, "Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Glory be to Jesus. So knowledge of salvation is given by the remission of sins. So salvation is not by refraining from sin. It's not by restraining oneself from sin. It's by receiving the knowledge of salvation, which comes by the remission of sins. Glory to Jesus. This salvation comes by the remission of sins. The man whose sins are forgiven is the man who is saved. The man who refrains from sinning is not saved. The man whose sins are forgiven is saved. Hallelujah. And in his salvation, he's given the capacity to live above the lust of the flesh. So what you find in salvation is the ability of God, the Spirit of God, to walk contrary to the nature of the world, contrary to the desires of the world. Galatians 5:16, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So you see that you can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is in salvation. This is after you are saved. This is not something that happens before you are saved. This is not something you do to be saved. This is something you do because you are saved. Hallelujah. Consequent upon believing in the gospel, you are given the Holy Ghost. And for having the Spirit of God, you have the capacity to walk above the lust of the flesh. Glory be to God. Such that the ability to refrain from sinning or to restrain oneself from the lust of the flesh is a post-salvation reality. That is, it is something that happens because you are saved. It is not something that you are required to do to be saved. It is not a condition for salvation. It is not a condition to remain saved either. It is only a reflection, a natural reflection or a byproduct of spiritual maturity. Hallelujah. So salvation is not refraining from sinning. Salvation is receiving the offer of God's forgiveness. Look at Matthew 26, verse 28. "This is my blood of the new covenant." Jesus speaking. "My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Hallelujah. Have you seen that the reason why Jesus died is he died and rose again for the remission of sins. And this is what we announce to men. Luke 24, this is what he authorized the apostles to preach, the apostles and by extension the church. We all are to proclaim remission of sins as the way of salvation. Luke 24, from verse 44, Bible says, "Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at where? Jerusalem." Repentance and remission of sins. We've studied this before. Repentance here speaks of turning away from unbelief to having faith in Christ. Turning away from unbelief to having faith in Christ. The repentance here is not repentance in conduct. It's repentance in your mindset. Hallelujah. It means to have a rethink. Turn away from your unbelief and believe in the gospel. Hallelujah. So what we are to preach to the world is remission of sins. Glory to Jesus. That's why the emphasis is on believing. Not what men should do, but how that men are called to believe in what was done, to believe in that which has been done. John 3:16, very popular scripture. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." Whosoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. So you see that salvation is by believing. It is not by doing. It's by believing, not by doing. The gospel that says men must refrain from sinning before they are saved is a gospel that preaches salvation by doing. The gospel of Christ is salvation by believing in that which has been done. So it is not your achievement. You don't attain unto it. You don't achieve it by what you do. You only receive it. Hallelujah. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So you don't do anything to get it. You only believe in that which was done. Hallelujah. That is why it is called the finished work of Christ. It is not your work. It is his work. So you don't work to get it. You believe in the fact that he already did it. You believe in what he has done and you are saved. This is salvation. Hallelujah. This is salvation. John chapter 3 verse 36. It is by believing. It's by believing. John chapter 3 and verse 36. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." You see that believing is the way unto salvation. Any gospel that makes a demand apart from believing is a false gospel. Any gospel that makes a demand apart from believing in what Jesus has done is a false gospel. Any gospel that solicits anything to be done, that solicits that you must do something before you can be saved, apart from believing in the fact that Jesus did something, is a false gospel. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 5 verse 24. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. He who hears my word and believes." Glory to Jesus. What does it mean to believe? It means to trust in an account, to trust a report. To believe, to trust in what is said to you, to trust in what has been communicated to you. Romans 10:17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing. The believing comes by hearing God's word. So believing simply means to trust the report. Hallelujah. So salvation is by trusting, is by believing in the account and the facts of the gospel. Glory to Jesus. And Jesus says the man that believes this way is the man that has passed from death into life and will never come into judgment. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Acts chapter 10 verse 43. Acts 10:43. Let me quickly say this to you. If you are listening to this and you know this truth, but you find yourself in a gathering where this is regularly being taught against, this is regularly being confronted and, you know, fought against, and then you are still there because you think you have no choice. Well, you have a choice. You have a choice to stay or to leave. Bible prescription is that we turn away from such places. We turn away from such assemblies. It doesn't make sense to say you are there. You are just there. You are just trying to agree. You are just trying to understand why they are saying what they are saying. If you see, unless you are a pastor in that place and you can really teach and make impact in the lives of people there, you are wasting your time. Bible prescription is to turn away from such places. Hallelujah. To turn away from such places. Acts chapter 10 verse 43. Listen carefully. Bible says, "To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. How is remission of sins received? Remission of sins, aka salvation, aka justification by faith, aka forgiveness. Hallelujah. Is received by believing. To him all the prophets witness. There's a collective witness in the prophets that the way unto salvation is the way of believing in Christ. Hallelujah. Believing, not behaving. Believing. We don't get saved by behaving. We get saved by believing in the accounts of the scriptures. Look at Acts 13 verse 38 to 49 also. Acts 13, 38 to 49 also. Bible says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. The offer of God in Christ Jesus is forgiveness of sins to as many as believed on his name, to as many as believe in his name, to as many as believe the account of the gospel. They are forgiven of their sins. Hallelujah. Verse 39, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You are justified from all things by believing. Hallelujah. Not by behaving, not by trying to refrain from sin, not by stopping the attitude of sin or habits of sin. It is by believing in what Jesus did. Glory to Jesus. By believing in what Jesus did. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 10 from verse 1 to 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 1, all the way down to verse 10. Bible says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Paul is desiring that the Israelites be saved. My heart's desire, prayer, heartfelt prayer and desire for Israel is that they may be saved. Why? Verse 2, I bear them witness. I bear them witness, in the KJV says record, that they have a zeal for God but not according to knowledge. You see, this is very heartbreaking. That a man has zeal. You know, I said in this teaching earlier how that there are people who go about preaching the gospel that they know that they assume to be the gospel, and then they are preaching, they are so zealous, diligent. I mean, I like their zeal. If a believer that has the knowledge of God's word is not this zealous, something is wrong. I mean, I like that zeal, that you are so zealous for the things of God, but then there's something very deadly. You can be zealous not according to knowledge. You can be zealous contrary to the knowledge of God, and that's a strange zeal. That is zeal in the wrong direction, and it is unprofitable. Such is the case of Israel. Such is the case of the Israelites. They were zealous for God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. When he says ignorant here, the word ignorant here does not mean that they just don't know. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, for the children of Israel, it is that they have chosen to ignore the truth of God's word. John 1:11, he came to his own. His own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them gave the right to become children of God. John 1, 11 and 12. So, ignorance on the part of the Jews was not unavailability of knowledge, was not the lack of information. It was choosing to deliberately refuse and ignore the knowledge of God that was made available to them. Jesus came unto them and they rejected his ministry. Hallelujah. So that the children of Israel could not be claiming that they didn't know these things or they have not heard them, as we shall see in Romans 10. They had known, they had heard, they had heard about these things, but they chose to not accept these realities. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone who believes. Have you seen? Righteousness is to who? To those who believe. Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the end of trying to do something to become righteous. Christ is the end of striving to be made righteous. Christ is the end of all that. For righteousness to them that believe. So believing is the way. Believing is the emphasis. When it comes to salvation, you don't behave your way to be saved. You believe unto salvation. Hallelujah. You believe to be saved. Glory to Jesus. Look at verse 5. It shows you a contrast between the law of Moses and the New Testament. Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. The things that are in the law. Verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Have you seen? With the heart man believes unto righteousness. The righteousness in the law says if you do these things, you live. The righteousness of Christ says if you believe, you live. Hallelujah. You believe unto righteousness. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The same thing. For the scripture says, verse 11, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Bible now says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Glory be to God. Calling upon the name of the Lord in this context means to believe in what Christ has done. Hallelujah. To believe in what Christ has done. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful at the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I'll provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I'll move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask of me. So you see that Israel knew. They knew. They saw Jesus. They rejected him. Hallelujah. When Peter was speaking to the Jews, he says, Jesus Christ, a man attested to you by signs and wonders and miracles, signs and wonders and miracles which God did in your midst. A man attested to you at Acts chapter 2, verse 22. So they knew. So their ignorance is willful ignorance. Hallelujah. There are those who don't know because they have no information available to them. There are those who have chosen not to know because they have just decided to refuse the gospel. Knowledge has been shown them. The truth has been declared to them. But they choose to not believe. Glory be to God. Now many people fall into this category in the church. Several pastors who preach against the idea of salvation by grace alone in Christ alone, salvation by faith alone in Christ alone, have heard the truth of the word of God. You would notice and discern this in their refuting, in their opposition, in their confronting of this message. You find them quoting things they've heard and they are fighting against it. So they've heard the truth. They've heard the knowledge of God's word. They've heard the gospel, but they are fighting against it because they have chosen not to agree or to believe the report of God. Hallelujah. The report of God. Look at this carefully now. 1 John chapter 5 verse 9 to 10. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his son. He who believes in the son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his son. Look at verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his son. Have you seen? It's by believing the witness, the testimony, the record of God. That is how a man is saved. By believing. So if we say, how did you receive salvation? You say, well, I just gave my life to Christ. All those things are still vague. I just gave my life to Christ. Or you say, well, I just decided to follow Jesus. I just decided. No, you must tell us you heard something. Hallelujah. You must have heard. You must have heard. You must have heard something. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:13. In him you trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In him you trusted after you heard. Hallelujah. Now let me quickly give you two consequences of believing in a false gospel, of believing that refraining from sin is the way to be saved. You would end up becoming a false convert. And there are many false converts in the body of Christ today. Many false converts in the church organization, not in the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is spiritual, but in the church organization, there are many false converts. Men that were brought into the church without them meeting the gospel of Christ. Men that were scared and bullied into the church. Men that were baited by every form of human desire. Come to Jesus, he'll give you more money. Come to Jesus, your marriage will work. Come to Jesus. You don't need to believe in the gospel to have your marriage work. You don't need to believe in the gospel to have your grades come out in flying colors. You don't need to believe in the gospel to be promoted at your workplace. All such gospels have ended up producing false converts in the body of Christ. Or false converts in the church community. Hallelujah. In the church organization. And I don't want it to be too late for you. In case you have received the false gospel, It shouldn't be too late for you to make a thorough discovery or to reappraise, hallelujah, to reappraise your stance and make a discovery of the truth for yourself and receive the gospel of Christ afresh. Glory be to Jesus. And believe the report of God. Because it won't be palatable for you to wake up on the other side of eternity and discover that you were never saved. And I'm not giving you fictional statistics when I say a lot of people, from my own experience, I have met several people on evangelism who are in church, who are church people, but they are not saved. Hallelujah. Church people, but they are not saved. Some of them very committed. I remember vividly how I engaged a man by the bus stop, and as I was done sharing the gospel with him, I asked him, because I had asked him if he was saved. He said no. He said yes. Then he told me what he considers to be salvation. And I told him, no, that's not salvation. By the time I was done sharing with him, it occurred to him that he was not saved. I asked him how long he's been in church. He told me he has been in church for a couple of years. Not only that, he was a choir director as at the time we were speaking. Hallelujah. Imagine a choir director heading to hell. A choir director that is going to hell. And, you know, this is so grievous. It's grievous. You can end up being a false convert if you do not believe the gospel of Christ. If you believe that salvation is by refraining from sin, you can end up becoming a false convert. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 2. Glory to Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 2. Now, from verse 1, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Did you hear that? Unless you believed in vain. To believe in vain here, the word vain in the Greek actually means to believe without a reason, to believe without the right cause, to be inconsiderable. Hallelujah. That is, what you gave heed to was not the truth. So Paul is saying, I'm trying to deliver it to you afresh in case what you believe was not the real thing. That would be believing in vain. Hallelujah. You can end up being a false convert. In fact, it's not that you can. You will end up being a false convert if you don't believe the truth of the gospel. If you believe any other thing that deviates from the inspiration of scriptures, that deviates from the inspiration of the gospel, that deviates from what Jesus did as the basis for salvation, you would end up being a false convert. Hallelujah. No matter how long you stay in church, you are still a false convert until you believe in the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 7, verse 6 to 8. Look at this quickly. Mark 7, 6 to 8. Glory to God. Mark chapter 7, verse 6 to 8. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark 7, verse 6 to 8. Bible says, and he answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Why were they worshiping in vain? Because they were teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Glory to Jesus. Look at verse 8. For laying aside the commandment of God, you owe the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other things you do. Have you seen? Many other such things you do. Hallelujah. There are many things that are being taught, being done, that negate the truth of the word of God. Verse 13, look at the implication. How it says, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do. So the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. I'll say that again. The tradition of men make the word of God of no effect. The tradition of men make the word of God of no effect. The commandments and the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. The traditions and the commandments of men make the word of God of no effect. Hallelujah. And where does it make it of no effect? In the hearts of men. So that means the man that receives a false gospel, the gospel is made of no effect in his life because he won't be saved. Hallelujah. That's the consequence. He won't be saved. The gospel which is meant to save him will be made of no effect. He won't be saved because it's presented a false gospel. Hallelujah. That's the same thing Paul meant when he says that my preaching and my speech were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, 1 Corinthians 2, but in demonstration of the Holy Ghost and in power, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Refraining from sin is the wisdom of man. Believing in the gospel for the remission of sins is the wisdom of God. If you preach the former, the faith of men will lie in the wisdom of men. If you preach the latter, the faith of men will rest in the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. So, you run the risk of being a false convert if you don't believe the gospel of Christ Jesus. Titus 1:14. Look at this carefully as I begin to close. Titus chapter 1, verse 14. Titus 1:14. Bible says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men would turn from the truth. The commandments of men turn from the truth. Hallelujah. The commandments of men turn from the truth. Glory be to God. You run the risk of being a false convert. Second implication, you will never enjoy and walk in assurance of salvation if you were saved. Let's assume that you've been saved, you believe the true gospel, and then you are now exposing yourself to the message that says, unless a man refrains from sinning, he is not saved, or he cannot be saved, or is, you know, that shows that he's not truly saved, and things like that, you will never walk in the assurance of your salvation. There's a particular message responsible for providing you with stability in the Christian faith. It is called the word of his grace. Hebrews 13:8-9. Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Verse 9, therefore do not be carried away by various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, and not with food, which have not profited those who are occupied by them. So he says the heart of man is established by grace, by the grace of God. Every other doctrine contrary to the grace of God is strange and various. Strange and various doctrines. They negate the truth of the word of God, and they will never bring stability. Hallelujah. The only thing that brings stability is the message of Christ, the message of the grace of God. Such that the man that wants to walk in assurance of salvation must feed on the truth of the gospel of Christ. False gospels birth unstable souls. That's why you find people going back to the altar, in quotes, to be born again. There's no such thing. You can't be born again. You are born once into this world naturally. The same way spiritually, you are born once. After being born of God, the only thing that is expected of you is to grow in the knowledge of your salvation. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Acts 20:32. So then I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. After salvation, a man is commended unto spiritual growth that bets the Christian walk. Hallelujah. That bets a walk in the spirit. So, but when you have heard the gospel that says refraining from sin is how to be saved, you will never think you are good enough. You never think you have been saved indeed, or you've been saved truly. And that's how you hear people say things like genuinely born again Christian. Hallelujah. Genuinely, somebody who is born again for real, who is a born again Christian. Amen. A truly born again. You know, and things like, because the truth is, we feel that there's a born again person, there's a truly born again, there's a truly born again Christian. Glory to Jesus. But there's no such thing. If you are born again, you are born again. If you are not born again, you are not born again. But the reason why people say all those kind of things is because they are judging based on works. Hallelujah. Works. So if you want to walk in assurance of salvation, you must be ready to depart from false teachings. Glory to Jesus. Ephesians 4:14-15. False doctrine bets on stable souls. Ephesians 4:14-15. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with various doctrines, with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. He says, to not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine will toss you to and fro. Hallelujah. It's only the truth of the word of God. It's only the truth of Christ that has the ability to establish you and to make you stable. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, your family members, your neighbors, your colleagues, and let's come together again to have a great time in the word of God. Put on your social media handles, publicize the broadcast. You don't know who you might be saving by this act. Glory be to Jesus. And have a great day full of the word, full of the spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. Share the gospel with somebody today. See you in the next episode.